Hello, beloved. Welcome back to another episode of Christian Singles Today. You're here with your Christian relationship coach, Reverend Simone Lee, and I'm so excited to just go right in and dive into our topic about self-control that we've been talking about these last 2 weeks and how that is actually a lot more about freedom than restraints. And that when we can grasp into the freedom of just leaning into God and allowing Him to help us to walk in the way that we were created to walk in, being the person that we're created to be, there is massive freedom in all of that, and that there has been such distortion of our understanding of what self-control means, and therefore has led us further and further away from who we're actually created to be. But before we go into all of that good stuff, just again want to invite you guys to make sure that you're in a cozy environment where you feel safe to really go deep within yourself, to have these conversations with God at this moment, and be sure to grab that journal or device so that you can take notes as we're having these conversations. So before further ado, let's get started. If you were here with me last week, we were talking about self-control from the verse of Galatians 5, 22 to 23, where it says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law." And in that context of self-control, the Greek word was translated to mean having self-mastery with the guidance and leaning upon the Holy Spirit. So it's not self-mastery as in like having better willpower per se, but to actually surrendering the self, to letting go and coming to the end of ourself actually and saying, you know what, I can't do this, God, but then you can do this. And this week, I just wanted to again look at the word self-control, but in another context, which is from 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And here, in this context, the word self-control is actually another word. Likewise, same as last time, I'm not gonna butcher the Greek word of it. But in this Greek word, as you look at other translations, for example, in the NAS, it's translated as discipline, or in the NIV is translated as self-discipline, and in King James Version it's a sound mind, and in the INT it's a wise discretion. So in the context of the way that this Greek word is usually used, it's discipline. It means to properly have a safe mindedness, to be prudent and having behavior that fits the situation. So an example of this would be to act according to God's will by doing what He calls as sound reasoning. So in this context, the word self-control isn't so much about having a leash on ourselves to not be able to be who we were created to be, but on the contrary, that we would be abiding in God's will, that we'll be seeking His wisdom, that we would be able to walk in the way that we were created to be with sound reasoning, with wise discretion, with a sound mind, and that we would discipline ourselves to go on with our everyday life, living up to the integrity of who we were created to be. So from that perspective, self-control is not a leash, it's not a bondage, but it's on the contrary, a release from the bondage of the things that society says that we ought to become a better person, to be more valuable, to be more worthy. But instead, that as we seek God's wisdom, His sound mind, His wise discretion, and as we allow ourselves to walk in the freedom of exploring all of that, and as we yield to God's invitation to becoming more and more of that person He had designed and created you to be, then that actually is the concept of self-control from a biblical perspective. But it's often easier said than done, because like I was saying last week, that in our individualistic kind of thinking society, it's really hard to come to that dependency to say that I'm at the end of myself and admitting that I actually don't know what's good for me, and I think I know what I want in my life, but I actually don't know what I want in life. And perhaps God, my designer, is the one that actually knows more about me than I know about me. And allowing God to be the one to show me what it is I truly desire, what it is I truly want, and how it is I really want to live my life to the fullest. That coming to the end of ourselves is not easy. To recognize that there's a lot of things, no matter how hard in the past we've tried to control, to make better by our own efforts, our own wisdom, by our own strength, it had not been possible. And to coming to that place to say, you know, God, maybe I'm not going to do it my way anymore, and I'll allow you to be the one to lead and guide me. And you know what? The funny thing is, I think of all the times that I've had actually come to those moments where I come to the end myself and I realize, you know what? I can't. I tried it to my hardest. I can't. I just realize I have to give up. And it's only in those moments when I finally give up and I stop trying to run around like a headless chicken, trying to solve these things and figure things out on my own, then that's when I actually finally make space for the Holy Spirit to come in and I can hear him properly and I can realize what is the wisdom and invitation that he's been imparting on me all along. And then it becomes so clear what he's been saying all along, but I've been rejecting because I was so gung-ho on doing it my way. Beloved, has there been times in your life where you've been holding on so tightly on your own? You're trying so hard, you're trying the best you can, but you just can't figure it out. What if the answer is in letting go? What if the answer is in letting God to be the one to show you the way forward? What does it mean for you to come to the end of yourself? And what if the leap of faith isn't to do more, to try harder, to make it happen, but that leap of faith is actually to let go and let God? I know it's cliche to say that, to let go and let God, but what if it's actually saying, you know what? I've had it. I can't. I really can't. I'm done. I'm so done. Allow yourself to be done. And then you will be surprised that if you're willing to keep listening, if you're willing to keep holding on to God anyways, he'll come through. He'll shed a new type of wisdom upon you, a new thinking, a new freedom that you never even thought of on your own. Because a lot of times it's the lies in our heads, like our lies that we need to keep up with our self-perfection, like our own way of trying to live up to the standards or expectations of society, ourselves, or the church, or the people around us has given us. These counterfeit ways of living, of trying to be good enough, of trying to be self-righteous, is what is standing in the way from truly, truly abiding in God. And I think that's the funny notion that I'm proposing here as we talking about what is self-control from a biblical perspective and how to have self-control to overcome the struggles, the challenges, or even addictions in our life. And it's actually to press in to letting go of that control and letting God be the one to guide and lead and giving you the strength to move on. And this may sound very close to what addiction is, because addiction, like I was saying before in another episode, is that it's essentially losing control of what you can do, right? That you're no longer engaging in certain activities because you're choosing to, but it's because you're no longer able to function and that the habit, the thoughts, that the behavior is controlling you instead of you gaining pleasure or whatever it is that you were trying to gain from it. And I think we all have addictions. Some are just healthier, some are less healthier. I mean, like, you know, I'm addicted to work sometimes, you know, like I can't seem to stop even though I know I need to stop. Some people are addicted to coffee. If you cannot drink coffee today, you cannot function properly. So when these things that were meant to serve us becomes that, and we become a servant to them instead, that is what constitutes as addiction. Some are more societal acceptable addiction, like coffee and work. And then there's addictions that are less acceptable, that I mentioned before, like sex, drugs, alcohol. But all of us who has experienced addiction will know that willpower alone is not sufficient to overcome it, to have freedom from it. And that is why, like, the first step to any good 12-step program is to acknowledge that there is a higher power and that we cannot overcome this struggle on our own, but that it is with God. It is through abiding in God. It is through his power, through his intervention, that we are overcomers and we can triumph through it all. So I know I'm kind of like glossing over the surface today still, but I just want to ask you guys to just maybe spend this week to just journal and pray with God to reflect upon, like, you know, what are some of the counterfeits that you've been settling for in your life? Or what are some of the addictive lifestyle that's actually robbing you from fully enjoying the things that were meant to serve you, but now that you're a servant to it instead? And most importantly, asking the Holy Spirit to help you to come to that realization of where your limitation of your willpower is. Where is the end of yourself? Where do you want to start allowing God and his strength to guide and lead? Or maybe even asking God to show you where were the times in your life when you did let go and how he came through and he led and it was so much better than anything that you had imagined on your own. Sometimes we just need those kind of reminders to remember God's faithfulness, of how he's been there all along, and that step by step, he's been trying to help us to understand his character of being that really good caregiver, that good father that he is, and that we can trust him. There may be people in our lives that have let us down, and that may cause us to have a barrier to knowing how to trust other people or even trusting ourselves. So not to mention trusting in this divine character that we can't physically see or two eyes. I know that's something I struggle with. A lot of times when I come to that breaking point of where Jesus is just telling me, you just need to let go and trust me. And then there's this loud voice coming from inside of me, the younger version of myself, of all the times when the caregivers in my life that I trusted, but for whatever reason, was whether it's because they didn't know any better, or like they didn't have the skills themselves, or they just was not capable of being trustworthy. Little child in me was just bringing up all the times, all the hurts, all the disappointments that I encountered, and how every time I trusted, I was let down, I was disappointed, I was screwed over. I would always say to Jesus, but you have no idea how many times I've been screwed over. How do I know that you are any different, God? How do I know that you are any different? How can I trust that this situation will be any different from before? I would love to give you a blanket answer to that question, but there is none. And I think the invitation in today's conversation is perhaps that you would have that conversation honestly with God, to come in front of him, tell him about all the reasons why you can't trust him, why it's easier and safer to lean upon your own perfectionism, your own self-righteousness, your own will, your own wits, your own control, your own power, your own wisdom, than to trust him. I'm sure there's tons of reasons, tons of really valid reasons, but I just want to invite you to make space today to let his love speak through to you nonetheless. Let his love heal and minister to your heart. Because whether or not you trust him or not, I think there is a freedom to be found when we can allow him to heal us from those hurts, so that we don't have to go through life in that anxiety anymore. I know you're gonna say, like, I don't live in no anxiety, but did you know that perfectionism, the need to do more, the need to rely on ourselves, a lot of that is rooted in mild anxiety. A lot of us are functioning. It's a lot more common nowadays to be high functioning, depressed people or anxious oriented people, but that somehow we just learn to use it for the good somehow. We think it's a source of motivation that whips our butt to keep moving. But that's not freedom. That's not the freedom that Jesus had for us. That's not the grace that he has for his children, our Father has for his children. If you think about it, really, that sounds like a whip of a taskmaster. And God isn't a taskmaster. That whip is from the pit of hell, not the love of heaven. And that's the invitation today. Beloved, willing to have these conversations with him about why it's so hard to let go of that whip. Why is it so much easier to believe that whip will get you to where you need to be than to trust in his love for you? That if he would die for you on the cross, what else would he be stingy and not willing to give you in this life? Beloved, I know these are really hard conversations to have, and that's why we're here, right? Like, that's why we're a community where we're not doing this alone and we're doing this together, so like, you're not the only one that is struggling with this. You're not crazy. You're not less than Christian. It just actually proves that you are human, that you're still struggling with this, because on this side of eternity, there is no perfection. Because on this side of eternity, we are still always learning more and more about God's character and who we're created to be, and that we are growing in that freedom, growing and knowing how to walk in that freedom. And as I've said many times on this podcast, I just want you to know you really don't need to do this alone. If at any point this conversation that we're having here is the Holy Spirit is using to invite you to have a deeper conversation, and you want support in knowing how to have this conversation, I really encourage you to go hit the descriptions below and find my contact information and get in touch. Because that's what I'm here for. I've had many, many years of experience journeying with people and guiding them to have these deeper conversations with God and finding freedom to walk in the fullness of who they were created to be as beloved of Christ. And I want that for you. I want that for you so badly, because there's just so much abundance and blessings when you can yield to God's invitation, let go of the counterfeits, and live abundantly in the life that he's called and created you for. Let's just pause here today. There's been a lot put on the table for you to think about, and I invite you to come back here again next week as we continue to go deeper into talking about this topic, about what true self-control is and what addiction is, and how to find healthier alternatives to the things that we're addicted for instead of feeling like we have to fake it till we make it. I pray that you have a wonderful and blessed week. Let's talk again next Tuesday. Remember, beloved, you are seen, you're accepted, you belong, and you are loved. Don't let anyone or anything ever take that away from you. In Jesus' name, I bless you.